Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens, families, educators, and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. Turnabout Incorporated provides training and education for students, parents, educators, law enforcement, social service providers in youth and family development, substance use, violence, behavioral problems, and mental health. Turnabout is an outpatient family and community-based program. It offers individual and group therapy. I'm Dr. Liz Hollifield, and joining me via the Zoom platform, I welcome Dr. McKenzie. She is the Executive Director of Turnabout. Dr. McKenzie, welcome to 411 Teen.
Hello.
And Haley Robinson. She is a counselor for Turnabout Incorporated.
Hi.
Glad to have you. The Carver family hope to join us shortly, maybe in segment two. What is Turnabout Incorporated about? And I guess I'll direct that to you, Dr. McKenzie.
Well, when you think about it, it's a space for the kid that is struggling, the kid and family that may be struggling with identity, may be struggling with developmentally transitioning. The transitional years are pretty tough. And they may have come across some wonderful friends who tend to introduce them to things that aren't so wonderful for them. And so then they may end up being problematic, and in steps Turnabout. That's who we are. That's who we are in the community. We're there to assist that kid and his or her parent in trying to turn it about and get back on track.
Okay. All right. Now, Counselor Haley Robinson, did you have anything you wanted to add to that from your perspective as a counselor there?
I believe part of this, to me personally, is just kind of helping kids realize their full potential, and maybe they don't realize in the moment the skills that they already have in their own toolkit that they're using on their daily basis to help pull them out of these struggles that Dr. McKendrick just mentioned. But I think we don't give our kids enough credit for how much they already know that and use in their mm-hmm. daily lives. So part of this for me is just about kind of acknowledging, hey, you guys have all these skills in your toolkits already. Let's mm-hmm. work on them, amplify them, use them more in our daily lives so that we can pull ourselves up and out of whatever we may be going through at the moment.
Okay. Well, what is the referral process? Can you share that with us? I mean, can one just simply call in? Do they have to have a counselor refer them? Do they have to have a teacher, a community organizer? I mean, what is the process? Someone's listening to this and they think, I may have, someone in my family who could benefit from being in Turnabout. What is the referral process? How does one become connected to whomever?
It's literally all of the above.
Okay.
You parents can, parents, teachers, kids themselves have been known to call into our number and say, I need to talk to a counselor about this and so, and can I get an appointment? From there, the woman who answers the phone has been with us for about, over 22 years or so.
Wow.
And she'll call and leave us a message and say, can you get with this family? And we begin the assessment process of seeing how we can assist the child that's been deemed eligible and appropriate for Turnabout. And so literally it comes from all of those sources you said.
Okay. Do kids have to have parental permission? Let's say they're going through some changes and they call and they don't particularly want their parents involved at this point. How do you handle that?
What can happen according to statute is that we can see these children twice, and then we have to have their, and so in essence, we have to have parental consent. And so we'll talk to the kid and say, you know, this is how it'll go. We'll be there with you. Mm-hmm. We'll support you in this process. And then we call parents in. And the great thing about that, about having to have parental consent, is that Turnabout is focused on the family system, in that we look at this as a family system issue, that if the child is having an issue, then the parent, the system is kind of is off because they're members of a unit. Mm-hmm. And so usually, well, most of our work, we will ask parents to come in our outpatient. And in particular, in our intensive outpatient, they cannot be enrolled at all unless the parents agree to being enrolled as well. Mm-hmm. So that we work the entire system to ensure, it absolutely does ensure, pulling on all those skills, pulling in what they do know, what they could stand to shore up, mm-hmm. so that the entire system now has turned around.
Okay. Well, now, Haley, as counselor, how would you categorize the issues or the problems or the changes that the clients are experiencing? What do you see? Yeah.
Yeah. Are you asking like what the most prevalent issues?
Yeah. What are the common, you know, issues that bring kids to you that you have seen?
Yeah, for sure. So I mostly work in our schools program. So I'm in a different school every day of the week, middle and high school students mostly. And a lot of what we're seeing there is a lot of anxiety, whether it's generalized anxiety, social anxiety, anxiety about school, about grades. There's always something that's making them anxious and causing us to need to kind of dive deeper into those coping skills for anxiety, especially with the fast-paced environment of high school, specifically with college coming up and testing and more classes and switching around classes. On top of that, all just being a huge transitional period in general for adolescents. I would say anxiety is definitely at the top of the list of what I'm seeing, but also just like Dr. McKendrick was talking about earlier, kind of those getting into those negative peer relationships, friend groups are changing a lot during those years. Self-esteem is declining a lot, unfortunately, during those years. So working on kind of building up that self-esteem hand in hand with those positive coping skills so that kids are able to kind of navigate these issues on their own in healthier ways.
Mm-hmm. Who are we talking about? And when I say who, I mean the age range, because I know we're saying young folks, but at what point, from what age to what is the criteria cutoff?
The students that I was just talking about, the majority of my students are middle and high school, so 6th through 12th grade.
Okay.
I do see some college age students, and then we do a group with young kids at a community center, like elementary school age, but the majority of my clients specifically are middle and high school, but Turnabout does all ranges of children and young adults.
So would it be safe to say something like around 8 to 21 or 8 to 24? I'm just trying to get a chronological cutoff for the listening audience so they would have an idea and know what you're referring to.
Yeah, for sure. I'd say actually our youngest client right now at the community center is probably 5 or 6 young kids. Then our oldest college student, I'd say, is 20.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. What does the assessment or evaluation involve?
We tend to, our assessment process is a 2-session process.
Mm-hmm.
It is a thorough psychosocial psychosocial assessment, of the child and the parent. We do ask, again, parents have to come for that. We are looking at like all the life areas, you know, what do you do for recreation? What do you do? Mm-hmm. Have you ever felt like harming yourself? What's your family like? So a full assessment that takes two sessions. The first session is about 2 hours. We give one, two, three structured instruments. These are instruments that have been tested and retested empirically that we'll use. And then we use a questionnaire, which talks about developmentally what's going on with the child, what has happened in their life, what are some of their hobbies, what are some of their leisure activities. And then we score those and we take into account after talking to the parent and the child on that first session. And then that next session, we explain what we found and we make a recommendation of where and how we think Turnabout or anyone else in the community will be able to assist the child. And we do that with the child or the, you know, again, it doesn't have to be a parent. If the child is in a caregiving situation, mm-hmm. you know, the caregiver would come. So we use that term, you know, caregiver as well. So that's really the first step. Those first two sessions, yes. Mm-hmm.
So like it really involved intake exam sort of, it sounds like.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
To be real clear of what we want to, what's going on, and then what to most, as close as we can get to accurate evaluating and recommending to parents how we can help, or maybe if we can't help, how other professionals in the community could mm-hmm. help, and giving them referrals for that.
Okay. I have been talking with Dr. Washelle McKendrick, Executive Director of Turnabout, and Haley Robinson, Counselor. Turnabout is an outpatient family community-based program. It provides support for a number of life changes that students and parents, families may be experiencing. We're going to take a brief break right now, but we'll get right back at you. Just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, and this edition features the Turnabout Incorporated program. It's an outpatient family community-based program. And joining me, I have the executive director, Dr. Washelle McKendrick. I have a counselor, Haley Robinson, and I have a family who, parents and son, I believe, who are going to join us in this segment of the program. Before we went on break, we were just going over Turnabout and what Turnabout was about. Dr. McKendrick, share with us the cost. What is the process there? I mean, do you accept private insurance? Is it self-pay? Do you have a sliding scale? Is it kind of government-assisted program? What options do clients have?
You did it again. Absolutely everything what? You just said.
Oh, okay. I was getting ready to say, oh no, did I mess it
and
up?
And so I will kind of highlight
okay.
which is which. But our school program that Ms. Robertson was telling you she mm-hmm. Primarily works in, that includes our school suspension program, any services for trauma, or our school intervention program. All of those are covered under a grant. And so that is of no cost to parents okay. and children. Our intensive outpatient program, where it is a little more intense, children come after school 3 days a week now, and they're there after school for 3 or 4 hours. That's on a sliding scale, depending on, you know, income. Mm-hmm. And our outpatient, the same. And so intensive outpatient and outpatient the same. And we do take CHP private insurance.
Okay. All right.
Yes. So it was all of the above.
All of the above. So all the services are outpatient.
Yes. Correct. All are outpatient.
And then if you do have a patient that requires some residential care, you will refer them or refer them to the necessary professionals?
Yes, absolutely. We do have some pretty decent and cool relationships with some residential spaces here in Florida. Mm-hmm. They're not in our immediate area anymore, but down like Central Florida, we mm-hmm. do have places that we do refer parents, children and parents to. Yes.
Okay. We are talking about Turnabout Incorporated, and I'd like to welcome the family we have that's been involved with Turnabout. Welcome to 411 Teen. What has been your experience? How will you characterize your experience with Turnabout?
Hey, good afternoon. We had really good experiences with Turnabout, and our son is here, and we're going to let him tell you kind of his take on it. As parents, it was a relief to us to find an agency and a program that was able to help us with some issues that we were struggling with. And the program was really terrific. Dr. McKendrick and her staff were extremely helpful to us, speaking from a parent's perspective.
Okay. All right. From the son's perspective, would you share your experiences?
Sure. It was great.
That's what we want to hear. That's a real testimonial. I mean, what did you find to be the most beneficial in the therapy and work that you did with them?
I feel like talking to other peers was very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. Yeah.
What was it about talking and being able to communicate to other peers that made it so beneficial and productive?
I think it was heavily monitored. Like, there were always people in the room, which is great because.
Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that you would make a referral if somebody asked you, well, what was Turnabout about? What would you say to them? Do you think I should join? I'm thinking about becoming a client. What would you say to them?
I would say, sure.
Okay. All right.
Oh, you're too kind. And you're too kind.
Dr. McKendrick, share the contact information. We've been talking about, but share contact information about Turnabout for those who are listening and may want to find out more about your program.
Well, you can start with our website at www.turnaboutoneword.org.
Mm-hmm.
And you can call that number, 850-671-1920. And Ms. Sonia will definitely answer and get you started to where you need to go.
Okay, that sounds great.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I know you have several service milieus. Can you can you all talk about the different milieus? You and Haley talk about the different milieus. I'll start with you, Haley. Just what does the in-school service include? What does it mean? What does it provide?
Yeah, so there's a few different aspects actually that our school services cover. One of those is we do a school suspension program so that kids, a lot of time, it used to be that kids were suspended for a lot more days than they are now. And we would cut down about half of those suspension days so that we could meet with them for an assessment to kind of determine what's going on, what kind of led them to get to that point of needing to be suspended, do our assessment with them so that they could get back in school as quickly as possible. Because it's important for kids to get as much education as they can, and skipping that many days is kind of detrimental to that education. So we'll do two sessions with the family to kind of assess what's been going on, what's the reason behind the suspension, and then we'll give our recommendations, and the family can either decide to continue with treatment with us, or maybe we've referred them to somewhere else in the community, or just provided them with resources. It really depends on how they come back with their assessment. And then we'll submit a letter to the school saying that they completed that with us, and the school will knock off some of those suspension days for the student. So that's one aspect of what we do in schools. Another is just kind of intervention and prevention programming. So less of like the really intense clinical therapeutic modalities, but more just kind of helping set them up for success. Maybe they've gotten in trouble for aggression or fighting or just your normal teenage behavior at school, and we'll kind of work with them for a quicker period of time than we would with a clinical outpatient student. We'll meet with them for a few months, just get them kind of set right back on the right track, and then transition out with them. And then lastly, sometimes if the family cannot find transportation to meet with us after school, or if it just works better for us to meet with their student during the school day, we will sometimes have some of those more intensive clinical sessions with the student at school if that's the most convenient time for the family. But we make sure that we don't pull the kids from academic classes, of course. We don't want them to fall behind in those classes, so we'll take them just from like elective classes.
I see. Okay. That sounds like you're very efficient and very thorough. Yeah, so you cover all aspects.
Oh, there's one more. We got one more spot. We do work with children who are services for trauma.
Okay.
In schools as well. Yeah.
Okay, that's an in-school program also.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. And how do you define trauma?
It's basically defined by our referrals that we receive from either outside sources like state attorney's office, refuge house. Much of it is emotional abuse. If children have faced abuse themselves or witnessed violence in their neighborhoods or witnessed violence in their homes, our goal is to stop the cycle of violence that is permeated our society and our children, and to help them to develop, some of them to improve on coping skills that they already have, but many of them, particularly if they're real young in our elementary schools, is helping them to develop coping skills and being there with them as a support. So yeah, trauma, we define it that way. We don't necessarily look at the ACEs, but we do sometimes get referrals from agencies that look at adverse childhood events that is been very prominent these days. And those children that score a 4 or more, we would say they have been impacted by adverse childhood events. And so we would work with them on those issues. Yeah.
Okay. Now, another service milieu, I mean, I guess, do you provide in-home service? You will go to the home and do therapy there, or how does that work?
No, we do not. We may enter the home through, we're hybrid. And so we do, from time to time, we will do online therapy with outpatient clients. And so, yeah, we don't physically
don't
do
physically it. Go to the home.
Yes.
But I mean,
right.
So you do telehealth.
Mm-hmm. We do.
Okay. So that is an option. Parents. I know you feel like the program was fantastic, and that's good. But what kinds of things would you say to other parents? What do you think, where do you think you most benefited from and your son most benefited from? What kind of changes did you see? You know, because what we're trying to do is paint a picture of just your experiences, how they impacted you, how they impacted your son's life, what you would say about it, pardon me, now that you have finished the treatment plan. So share with us.
Well, from the beginning, it really provided a lot of structure for both us and our son to kind of walk us. The counselors and Dr. Shelley were walking us through how we can provide structure for our son, to help him kind of be able to move forward in the program. Also for us, we had some parent meetings with other parents. And so that was really helpful to kind of sit down and talk with some other parents. And while our children were struggling with different issues, there was still some nice back and forth and feedback from the staff of the program as well. And then we also had individual family sessions, okay, and our son had individual counseling. So it was really a great mix of individual and group programming that gave us a lot of ideas about how to do things at home, but also gave him a lot of structure and encouragement and feedback during the sessions.
Okay. And so it sounds like they approached you from a number of different avenues, all of which were very beneficial, whether it was the group therapy, and group therapy with other parents was very helpful, or just individual, but all in all, it was good and very productive. That's what I'm hearing. Okay.
Yes, definitely.
Do you offer prevention in addition to interventional services? It just came to mind. Do you all offer any type of prevention service?
Yes.
Okay.
Kind of what we're doing in the community centers is a preventive. If someone in the community requests, or school, or we've had several other nonprofit agencies in town to request that we come and do a class on how to identify if certain behaviors are going on, how to identify if substance abuse has started, how to deal with anger effectively. You know, we do those preventive kinds of sessions. We have a list there, self-esteem, all kind of health and wellness, to prevent getting to where you have to come into therapy. So we do give strategies there. And that's, again, a request made by any organization here in town, any school in town. We actually did go to an apartment complex once and did a whole anti-bullying presentation for like 6 weeks. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I've got, you anticipated my next question, because I was going to ask exactly how you interface with the community. And what I hear you saying is you interface anywhere, almost any place necessary.
Yes.
I mean, that's what I hear you saying. I mean, because you will again provide workshops or groups on a specific topic or a specific thing, and you will do that. You'll come out and, I guess, talk with staff.
Yes.
Okay, if that's what is needed. So it just kind of depends on what that particular community organization is requesting.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. We do it on a regular through Leon County School District, because that's where we do our services. We do that at the beginning of the school year with guidance counselors, with assistant principals and principals. We do those kinds of workshops and trainings with them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, what is the process for those who may be listening that want to access, you know, your services? Do they just call? Is there an application? What do they need to do to access their services?
There is no application. Again, it's a call to us saying we're from this group. We would like to have a presentation on alcohol in middle school, or we want a presentation on friendship building. We've gone to elementary schools for that. Oh, fine. This is what it will entail. And then we work out a schedule with the school guidance counselor or whomever is making the call. And we'll work out the schedule for how that will work and go there.
I asked the, pardon me, the student involved, what did you find the most difficult or most challenging component of this intervention, of this therapy, this therapeutic intervention for you? Where do you think you had to go through the most changes in your participation?
I would say probably there were restrictions on what I could do, like physically, like going to friends' houses and stuff. And those were pretty difficult.
And how did you handle that? I mean, for those who may be listening and may, you know, anticipate or have that type of issue, how do you have any cues as to how they can make a smooth transition into being compliant with what's expected of them? How did you handle it?
It was kind of rough at first. But eventually I was just like, okay, this is what I'm going to deal with now. And I got to I learned to just think more about what I do. Instead of just going impulsively and doing something.
All right. Great. Haley, as a counselor, what do you think is the biggest challenge that, and I know it varies because they're all going through different changes, so that I know, but for your clients, have you noticed what is the biggest challenge?
I think honestly, to tap on to what the student just said, I think kind of that impulsivity factor is huge at this age, especially with the clients that I've been working with, and just kind of getting them to take a step back and think before they act, because a lot of times that will fix multitudes of the problems that they're experiencing, or a lot of the roadblocks that come up, triggers that may come up in their life, lots of different things. So I think kind of working through that impulsivity and learning, like Dr. McKendrick has said multiple times, coping skills that they can use instead of just acting in the moment, taking a step back, taking a deep breath. What can you do in order to think about the consequences before you just act immediately?
And sounds like maturity may play a role in that. I tell you what, we'll get back to this. I hear Dr. McKendrick saying something. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You tuned in to 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and I welcome Dr. Wachelle McKendrick, Executive Director of Turnabout Community, Haley Robinson, counselor with Turnabout Community, and a family of parents and son who were clients in family and Turnabout and the family community-based program. What services or what types of therapeutic interventions are offered? And by that, I mean, I'd like to go through, I know you deal with substance abuse, and there's contingency management and incentives and anger management. And I wondered if we can kind of touch on each one of those, but just, you know, maybe a brief overview of how it is addressed, if at all possible, Dr. McKendrick.
So when we're thinking about the contingency management, that is primarily what's going on in the intensive outpatient program that the young man and his family were enrolled in. And so it is literally that we are, it's highly structured, and that we're asking for changes in behavior by complying with the structure. And literally we're not asking clients to do 100%, that's ridiculous.
That's not real. It's not real.
That's not real. That's right. So we typically ask in their work at Turnabout, the clinical work or the clinical and the behaviors at Turnabout, at home and at school, total every week, 80%. If you make 80% of your points, because you gain points and you lose points for behavior, then on Friday, we have Fun Friday. You are rewarded for 80%. That's absolutely doable. And so that is more utilized in the intensive outpatient. Okay. In our other counseling, it is a very eclectic kind of mix. There is motivational interviewing, cognitive behavioral. We do use cognitive behavioral in the intensive program as well. There is
How about motivational? Can we just talk about what motivational incentives involves?
Motivational interviewing, it is the allowing the client to feel, and they are, that they are in charge of this. And so you're asking questions, not why did you do, but speak to how that you would be a handle versus why did you do. That's very punitive in its way. We're trying to instill the motivation for the counseling with the way that we are interacting with, asking questions to the client. So we are reinforcing behaviors we want to see with the way that we're responding to them.
Okay. Now, I know anger management is on there. Anger management's on all the therapies because that is one area that there is a real need for. So would you talk about anger management? And I also will ask you to, Haley, to address it. Just why do we see, from where you sit, the problems that we do in anger management? Because that is a common issue. I'll start with you, Haley.
Yeah, I think for me, what I'm seeing in the students I'm working with who are experiencing a lot of anger is maybe not necessarily it's within them, but that it's almost this kind of like generational trauma, generational anger that's been passed down from their family or even environmental trauma, environmental anger that they're really being, it's kind of like a product of the environment that they're in. And I know violence in Tallahassee is getting increasingly, it's on the rise for sure in Tallahassee, gun violence, other types of violence. And I think a lot of our young children are growing up around it and seeing it, and it's kind of being instilled in them that stuff like this is okay.
How do you, excuse me for interrupting, how do you counsel that type if it's in the milieu and that it's, they got to deal with that on a daily basis? What types of insights do you try to provide for them? Because it's something that you're not going to change the environment.
Right.
At all.
Right. A lot of it, I think, is just giving them a safe space to just process it. Because a lot of the families that are experiencing this violence, a lot of times it's not talked about, or it's just washed over, or it, at least from the clients that I'm working with, their families are not a space where they can open up and address this violence and figure out why this is happening around me. So giving them just the space to have somebody acknowledge, like, you're scared of this and that's okay. And you're seeing all of this happening, and maybe you're acting out as a result of all of this happening, or also because you want to protect yourself. A lot of these kids are fighting back because they have to fight back in some circumstances. So giving them the space to just process it all while also kind of and normalizing it in a way, unfortunately, that's the world that we live in now, is that this is a normal thing. Normalizing it for them, letting them know that they're not alone, and that kind of like our students spoke to earlier, having groups with other students going through the same things is really, really helpful when talking about aggression. That's one of the biggest topics that comes up in my groups that I run at community centers or at middle schools, is just like, we're all kind of going through this together. How can we bounce off ideas of coping skills, coping mechanisms, ways to de-escalate our anger when it does arise?
Well, I applaud you and glad to hear your answers, because so often we may have interventional programs that aren't realistic. And what I hear you saying, all of you, is this is reality-based, okay? Recognizing that, they live in that milieu and they're going to have to cope and deal in that milieu. But there is an alternative. Okay, and this is the way we're going to handle it when you're not in that milieu. I mean, it's just got to be reality based. So I applaud you, Dr. McKendrick. I heard you, agreeing. That was there something you wanted to add when it comes to anger management?
I think she said it. I was going to say that, identifying that it's okay, that anger is, that feelings are just that, they just are. They're not good or bad. That anger is a natural feeling, but then let's look at how do you cope with your anger? How do you deal? And then sitting that off with others in a group. Groups and us being in community is what keeps us human. I just really believe that. And so being able to do that, and a kid at kindergarten age or 6 years old being able to do that is just amazing, because now it's kind of shifted to, well, I can be safe here and say that here and gain that. And then eventually our hope is that it does generalize out.
What is the therapeutic interventions that you use when it comes to substance abuse? Because I would think that that's going to really depend upon, you know, the involvement of the client themselves. I mean, at what point would you say, no, you're not appropriate for this program?
The kid that has to be detoxed or has more of an issue than we can work with on outpatient basis. We do follow the American Addiction Society of Medicine, their criteria for residential. And if the child meets that, then we will not, we have to refer them to a medical facility to either be detoxed or to a residential treatment facility for treatment. Of course, if the child can be stabilized and work with us in intensive outpatient, of course, we're going to try the least restrictive first. And then if it continues and there just isn't a handle on that and we haven't seen that progress, we will then refer up. That's the protocol, the professional protocol. We will not ever try to do something out of our standards, out of our expertise.
Okay. When you think about the majority of your clients, and I know the age range is, you know, from young five until, what, about 18, 21, something like that. How would you characterize, again, the majority of them? Are there these basically behavioral problems? Or are they really mental disorders? Are you able to handle those who may have some real forensic type disorders, some real forensic behaviors? I'm just, again, trying to wrap my arms around the clients who you serve. What about dual diagnosis? Do you deal with those individuals?
We do indeed. We do indeed. And primarily the dually focused children will be in our intensive outpatient program. We do work with mental health issues. As you heard Haley say, a lot of anxiety and depression. Coming out of COVID, we saw that uptick. And it's nationally, we've seen that as well. But we do work with children who do have mental health issues, and try to help them with that and their families. And there are times that we do limit when we think about forensic psychology or mental health. There are limitations to some criminal justice clients that we just are not able to help. But primarily we will work with them. We will work with their probation officers. We will work with the court to share with them how the work is coming. And those kids are usually in our intensive outpatient.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you have access to medical or psychiatric physicians? Or how does that work? You got somebody that actually, like you were saying, needs more than you are able to provide, needs a different level of care. How is that addressed?
Primarily from our own knowledge of, well, let me just take this time to get on my soapbox, that there is a need for adolescent psychiatrist
in
this Big Bend area. There is an absolute need for that. And I think it's been like that for a while. But what we tend to do is those folks that have actually worked alongside us over the years, we will refer and we'll give the referral to the parents, or we'll talk for sure, talk to the parents, families about that. And or sometimes families want to make the call themselves. Sometimes they want us to be with them when they went with the call, and we will refer them to the maybe the psychiatric help they need over at Appalachie, or maybe, and that's pretty limited for adolescents, you know, because it's there for adults, but we are fine. It's pretty limited. It's there, but it's pretty limited for adolescents. And so we typically just work alongside psychiatrists here in town, medical professionals here in town. We will work with many times the family's pediatrician to assist in other referrals as well.
Okay. Well, goodness, we're running out of time. And of course, I have a lot more questions, but what about follow-up services? What follow-up services are available upon discharge? And by that, I'm thinking about, is it medication? Is it family, educational counseling, group, family? And you share what follow-up services are available. You are Haley. Can you address that?
Looks like the car. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, they can address it too. The family. What follow up services have you utilized?
Well, I was going to say, even before the follow up services, that we actually got into Turnabout through our son's psychologist.
Okay.
And so in addition to Turnabout referring people out to psychologists, the Turnabout program is very well known in the community for the work that they do. And what we found was that our psychologist recommended Turnabout to us when we were looking for a group counseling program for our son. So that street works both ways. And of course, we did our due diligence. We'd not heard of this program before. And we found out that people who do this kind of work know about it. It has a lot of prestige. And so, you know, that worked for us in the opposite direction. We actually went to Turnabout from a psychologist, and it worked out quite well. It had what we were looking for to meet our son's needs there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was there anything you wanted to add, Haley?
I can speak to at least the school program, because I've been in there all year, and I'm kind of getting to a point where some students are ready to kind of transition out. So what that looks like.
If you could make it brief, I would be glad to have that information.
Yes, for sure. So what that looks like in the schools is that when we create the treatment plan at the beginning of our sessions together, we work through it, we get to the end of it, we kind of ask the client how they're feeling, if they want to continue on with services. And most of the time, they'll just say, like, we want to do every other week check-in or monthly check-in. So we're still kind of providing this checking in reassurance that they know that they still have someone to talk to, or we'll even refer them to their guidance counselor, but it's not as structured as meeting every single week for an hour.
Okay. Now, I know you also offer ancillary services like financial and housing and education, all types of things. So you cover all aspects, correct?
We don't provide housing. We will refer you.
That's what I meant. Yeah.
Because we do attend the local, again, part of the community. Okay. We're there. We've been invited. We're there whenever they call. We're there in meetings with our community partners. I always call them partners because we're all in this together here.
Okay.
Sheriff Walt McNeil said it right. We're all in.
Yes.
And so we do refer to, we have folks, contacts there that we can refer them to if there's a housing problem, if there's other things that we don't absolutely provide, we are there in the community to do that.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you because it's time out for this edition of 411 Teen. Many thanks to the Turnabout community. Thank you for coming and sharing your expertise and your experiences with 411 Teen and their listening audience. To my listening audience, much appreciation for your time and ear. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, inviting you to tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Teen. Teen was produced by Dr. Liz Holyfield. Technical assistance was provided by Evan Rossi. If you would like to participate in the 411 Teen or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 850-645-7200. 411 Teen archives are available as streaming audio at WFSU.org.